Workplace Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. One of the many services we offer is help at home with minor home maintenance. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Jerry Perelman.
Hi, John. Thanks.
We've had a great morning so far, and it's only going to get better because now we have with us on the phone Jerry Walsh, and Jerry is the president of the FINRA Foundation and the senior vice president of investor education. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. Just before I start our conversation, I want to let you know from a full disclosure point of view, I'm an investment advisor, an independent, but we started, my partner and I, a program called Project SAFE, which is Seniors Against Financial Exploitation. We started like 7 or 8 years ago. We work with the New York Attorney General's Office, the Nassau County DA's Office, the Department of Labor, and FTC that comes and does programs for us throughout churches, synagogues, community centers, because I personally think it's a disgrace the amount of scams that poor seniors get subjected to every year.
And one of the things that is just absolutely a fact is that so much of the fraud takes place outside the regulated financial professionals like advisors or brokers who register with FINRA.
100%. It's scams that it's amazing the amount. Now, I'm hearing all different numbers, but it's in the range of like 25, and maybe you could confirm this, like $25 billion a year, or that's exaggeration?
Well, I don't think it's an exaggeration. And one of the things that we're very concerned about is that there's underreporting when it comes to financial fraud and investment fraud in particular, since that's the space that we operate in. And, you know, FINRA views the protection of older investors as a key part of our mission. But what we are doing at the FINRA Investor Education Foundation is collaborating with the Bureau of Justice Statistics and other organizations, Stanford University and folks at the FTC have been involved with helping us construct a module that has been part of the National Crime Victimization Survey to really try to gauge the number. Because the truth is, policymakers, academics, we simply don't know how big the problem is because there's underreporting. And there's also a pretty wide range of definitions of what financial fraud is. Is it merely investment fraud? Is it the romance scams that you hear about on social media, the Ponzi schemes? And it's all of the above.
I agree 100%. I mean, we, on top of doing what I do, I also have a master's in gerontology and thanatology. So I'm a grief counselor and I work with seniors, and getting home health aides and then the stories you hear that all of a sudden the house was signed over. And some of these are true stories where then the son's trying to get somebody to sue and get the house back. And it's all such, it takes effect because they're just deceived and they trust the people. That's what it is. And it's a shame because this is a trusting generation, our senior generation. And it's hard for them to turn around and say, I don't trust you. I need a second and third opinion.
Yeah. And with the baby boomers, we're starting to see a little bit more skepticism. And the reality is that even going forward for the next 12 years, 10,000 Americans are going to turn 65 every day. But you nailed it. It's not just stranger danger. It's also family fraud. And it's really difficult. I think it's even more difficult for someone to come forward and point the finger at a caregiver or a family member, because that's not only a violation in the sense that you've been robbed of your money or somebody's taken advantage of you, but that betrays a bond and a trust that goes a lot deeper. And so people who rely on their family to help them out, to take them to doctor's appointments, to make sure that they're getting what they need, it's really hard to point the finger and say, this person took my money.
I agree. You never want to admit it. And then the shame of it is there's going to be a huge fight when the person dies, and then the other sibling realizes all the money's gone. Which is another issue whatsoever. And what I try to push specifically for seniors is the psychological impact. Because in grief therapy, there's something called assumptive reality. And I tell people, when you go home tonight, Jerry and Christina, anybody, you're going to open your door, you're going to walk in the house, and everything's fine. The day you walk in your house and it's been robbed, the following day, you put that key in the door, it's a whole different mindset. When you open that door, you're tense. And an 85-year-old woman, for that to happen to her for the rest of her life, they don't trust anybody. It's so sad that you have that on your mind, and it haunts people forever. And some of these numbers are significant that they can take from people.
Yeah.
Your AARP bulletin piece, How to Stop Fraud, is wonderful.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, a year and a half later, my office is still getting calls about that. People will say that we saw the information and we just want to tell you that we heard about this scam or that scam, or, you know, better yet, hey, I got this pitch. What do you think? And we can't give investment advice at FINRA. You know, as a regulator, we have to remain neutral. But we can say when we're seeing the hallmarks of fraud.
Right. Now, do you have an 800 number that a senior can call?
We do. We have a toll-free number. It's 844-574-3577. That's 844-57-HELPS, H-E-L-P-S.
Okay.
That's a toll-free number that people can call to get assistance from FINRA and to raise any issues about brokerage accounts or about investments. So it focuses on, you know, stocks, bonds, mutual funds, variable annuity contracts, you know, anything that would be a security. But if somebody needs help, if somebody is concerned that they might be face-to-face with an investment scam or that they're having a problem with their brokerage firm that they're not able to resolve or don't know where to turn, call that number. We've got trained professionals who will help. And, you know, if we can't help you, we'll steer you to the right organization that can. We've got partnerships with state securities regulators, like the New York State AG, and also with federal regulators like the Securities and Exchange Commission, the FBI, and other organizations.
Hey, Jerry, this is Jerry Perlman, the co-host today, and listening to what you're saying, this is wonderful. I always heard the ads following financial advertisements protected by FDIC and FINRA, but I never realized just how vast your assistance goes. I mean, you're set up to help seniors and people with all types of investments. I think that's incredible.
Well, thank you. It's a key part of the mission because investor protection for all investors is core to what FINRA does. And the FINRA Foundation, which I head up, has a project where we partner with AARP Foundation, with the Securities and Exchange Commission, the Better Business Bureau, First Nations Institute, a host of other organizations to reach out to different communities to try to get the word out about what fraud looks like. And this might be interesting to your audience, also what it feels like, because fraudsters who are worth their salt use a barrage of psychological tactics to try to separate people from their money. And so it can be a very heightened emotional experience to come face to face with a fraudster. That's how they earn trust, is they get this emotional hook into you. And so we want to try to inoculate people by making them aware of how the scammers carry out their crimes.
And that's so important, especially as we're going into the winter, because I'm a firm believer the winter is the best time for scammers, because these seniors are home. They're afraid to come out, especially if there's snow on the ground. And if you get a call on a dark 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon, why they pick up the phone, I'll never know, but they do. And if you're pleasing to them and they start talking and you use a name, Susie, how are you? And it's a rough day, it's cold. And then they start talking and next thing you know, they're writing a check. It's an amazing thing.
The phone remains a weapon of fraud. The Federal Trade Commission just came out with some data yesterday or earlier this week from the Consumer Sentinel that they have. And the, you know, one of the primary means of fraud is the phone.
Wow. I mean, and recently we did a program we didn't do it. It's about the grandparent scam with phone calls. We had a woman in the audience that gave $20,000 to get her grandson out of jail. Meanwhile, the whole thing was bogus. But because of the strange situation she has with her son, she wouldn't dare tell her son that his son was in trouble. And then she came up to us afterwards, and I'm like, you know, we referred it to the Attorney General's office, but you're not getting that money back. And it's like, we try to do it as a service to the community. And I'm like, when do these people wake up? But yet every year it's thousands of people get scammed.
Well, and one of the things that you have to remember is that when somebody is able to get you into that emotional state, whether it's, you know, fear or, you know, so some negative emotion, or whether it's excitement, like the prospect of making money, that's when, you know, your emotional brain takes over your rational brain and you start believing what these scammers are telling you. And, you know, anybody that muffles the phone, that figures out from your social media feeds that you do in fact have a grandson and that that grandson's name is Jack, and then someone muffles the phone and says, oh, it's Jack, I'm in trouble, don't tell my dad. You know, it is really hard for someone in the moment, even when they kind of their spidey sense is up and they know that something's wrong, it's hard to make that call. And it's easy to be an armchair quarterback, right? All of us do it. In fact, one of the things we need to do is change how we talk about victims and victimization so that people aren't so fearful of coming forward. A lot of people are embarrassed. That's why they don't want to come forward. And we need them to come forward so that we know what's happening, in part to educate for the exact circumstance that you just described, where you're never going to see that money again, so don't put it out in the first place. But for the cases that do involve individuals that are within, you know, the purview of a regulator like FINRA, like the SEC, like the New York AG, you want to make sure that those complaints are coming forward so that other people don't get hurt.
I agree with you 100%. Actually, we're going to put you on hold for a commercial break. We'll be right back with Jerry Walsh, who is the president of the FINRA Foundation.